Now, after the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated. He sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, a loud wailing, a wailing and loud lamentation. Rachel weeping for her children, she refused to be consoled because they were no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who are seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he had made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. "He will be called a Nazarene." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you.
Just the other night, I sat on the living room floor, leafing through the Christmas cards we received this year. The cards were full of smiling faces in the family photos and wonderful moments to celebrate written in the letters, as well as the couple thrown in there with the silhouette images of the manger scene. I find it fun to see how kids have grown and people have changed in the last year, and I do read each letter word for word, hoping to catch all the important details of the events of the last year that I may have missed. I didn't send out a letter this year, nor did my parents. However, I was considering posting on social media a life update or year in review type post in which I would share photos from 2019 and list a few of my best moments and accomplishments. In my mind, posts like these are just a different kind of Christmas card. I had many wonderful moments in the past year that I would love to share, but it was hard not to think about the challenges I faced and the things that didn't go quite as I had intended. I looked back at the list of things I might include in my post, a list I admittedly did make a couple weeks ago, and I realized I didn't include that time I slipped on the melting snow in the commons on campus and took a friend down with me. I did not plan to share about the times I couldn't get out of bed because I was so overcome with grief, or the moments I got a speeding ticket. As I fingered through more cards, I couldn't help but wonder about the struggles of the smiling faces staring back at me. Now, if Mary and Joseph had sent a Christmas card to their loved ones or posted a recap of their year on social media, my guess is they would not have included a photo of their travels to Egypt, or written that they couldn't return to their hometown because they were trying to avoid the murder of their newborn son. These just aren't the kind of things we tend to share much with others. In reference to the gospel story we read today, a scholar on the book of Matthew by the name of Rodney Reeves wrote, "None of these things make the cover of our Christmas cards. We prefer idyllic pastoral scenes of shepherds tending their flock by night, winged angels hovering in radiant splendor, the customary Christmas creche featuring parents attending the newborn, the quiet shelter of a wooden stable with barn animals reverentially witnessing the miracle. In other words, we feature Luke's story over Matthew's." He goes on to write that even if we did put the scenes of Matthew's nativity on our cards, no one would buy them. Matthew's nativity does not provide us with the images we have in mind when we think of the Christmas story. Aside from the Magi and the star, the story is hardly similar to Luke's account, which is what we tend to hear around Christmas time. But for some reason, this is what Matthew decided to share. This is what he wrote down in the hopes that others would read it. Why is this the story that Matthew wanted to share? Something else I noticed when perusing the Christmas cards is that most of the photos and nearly every single letter included the contents of a plan. What I mean by that is all the moments people shared were big things that were planned for, like weddings, baptisms, graduations, and vacations. And many of the photos were professionally taken in matching outfits. Almost everything that was shared was planned. I'm going to step out on a limb and suggest to you that Joseph's 5-year plan did not unfold as he had hoped. Mary being pregnant with a child whom did not belong to him, the death threats called upon Jesus' life, the death of all the infants in Bethlehem, or the flight and return from Egypt. Really, nothing about the story seems to be something anyone would plan. So again, I ask, why is this the story Matthew wanted to share? I know what it's like to make plans and have them ruined. Just like you, I have faced death at what seems like the worst times. Illness right before the big day. Failure after so much practice and anticipation. Broken relationships. Unavoidable conflict. And so many more things I just didn't intend for. A somewhat trite, yet utterly life-altering example is my call to ministry. I'll spare you the minute details, but what you need to know is that I was a 19-year-old with big plans to change kids' lives by becoming a school psychologist. I could have done it, and I think I would have been good at it. I'd found a career for me which combined my passions for hearing the story of others, advocacy for mental health awareness and education, and my intellectual curiosity for understanding people. It only took 1 week for my plans to change. In 1 short week, at a camp in which I had never worked, I continued grieving the unexpected loss of a loved one. I continued struggling from culture shock as I had returned from a semester abroad a few weeks prior. And I worked to assemble mental supports for myself and my family as my dad geared up for his first chemotherapy treatment. None of these things I planned. It was in that week and through those unexpected seventh graders that I experienced God guiding me and leading me to become aware of the call to ministry and literally changed everything about the plan I had laid out for the next few decades of my life. Tell me about plans getting messed up. In this first nativity scene, nothing happens that is beyond God's ability to work in the situation. Even those things that couldn't have been anticipated or planned for. Herod declares all infants to be killed. God sends Joseph an angel in a dream. And then again, Joseph receives another dream when it is time to return, which guides him to Nazareth instead of Judea. Likewise, through these unplanned events in my life and that week I ever so dreaded at camp, God worked in my life and never abandoned me. We don't always receive dreams and angels telling us where to go or what to do, like Joseph did. But there are other ways in which God intervenes in our lives and guides us amidst the unexpected and unplanned. Author Adam Hamilton, in his book Faithful, Christmas Through the Eyes of Joseph, suggests there are angels in our lives, and sometimes we don't even recognize them. He tells a story of a time he ran out of gas on the highway, and someone stopped by to take him to the gas station. Those 6th, 7th graders in my Bible study that week were my angels. God was using those kids to tell me about my call to ministry and healing me in a time of immense pain, guiding me through the week of uncertainty. Even in one of my darkest and lowest moments, God was guiding me. Even in Joseph and Mary's scariest, most dangerous hours, God was guiding them. And even in your most unplanned and unexpected seasons, God is guiding you. Matthew's nativity is a little less tidy and a little more human. It's a story full of fear, flight, death, and displacement. It's about things not going as planned and running into the unexpected. Matthew's nativity is a reminder that our lives don't go as planned, and sometimes the plan to have no plan is the best plan we have. God's promises prevail through the unexpected. God's promises prevail through the unplanned. And God's promises prevail even through those times we wouldn't want to write in our Christmas cards or feature in the photos on the front of the cards. I submit to you that is why Matthew wanted to share this story. Amen.